Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you for your mighty outpouring. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated for a moment. If that ability is still with you. There are a few important announcements I want to communicate before I begin. There are lots of places. If the Lord is still working on somebody by your side, you can just help them. I'm trying to calm it down because our time is fast spent. Just to give us brief instructions as we delve into the month. And so there are strategic operations we want to carry out in this month. On account of that, we are trying to open and expand our frontiers to accommodate more persons in order to make the operations really, really strategic. And so to that effect, we should pray. We should pray. We should pray. There's a weight in the spirit. There's a weight. We need to pray. We need to pray. Let's pray for another 5 minutes. If the Holy Ghost permits, we will continue. Rise up and pray in the spirit. There's a river. I can sense something heavy about to break. Say open. Say open. Da 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 da. Bara da 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 da. Come. Yado to to kakaka rado ruto to 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 baraka to bada riado to to sada yado no baraka to ate ta 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 rada da 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 ya veile lono sakata behule kakaro da 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 dia rada yado to no manda rakadona to zakabaya Mwade, Jotoa, Rato, Sakata, Indala Barado Manakaya, Velegeta de Manda Borodokopoa, Rakatondo Shebai, Indaliato, Barutaka, Sotatatia, Inderina Bacado, Raho, Sada, Eendo, Evelaye, Peole, Sakapadota, Itakapuda, Takuda, Itakapatoka, Ratakatakapatua, Retoa, Saru. Yazuda, Eva, Yododoma, Paroko Paska Patakaba, Baba, Rasotaka, Yetede, Hello, Marako, Porto Susana, Maraga da Diada, Montaka, Paradiado, Volopada, Adoto, Rano, 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 Saul, Hello, Dabadaka, Arobata, Volopoda, Eso Sosaya, Rakoko, Ese Asoto, Asita, Paragado, Nalo.
Oh,
rakado, rakado, yalo rado, yalo rado, zago brakada. Anda robo santa gania,
bisaya ni diende. Yeah, babai ke lao.
Something will shift in your life in this month. You will know it's not by power.
Yes, sir.
You will know it's not by might.
Yes, sir.
You will know it's by the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Something you could never have done for yourself. Something no man would ever have been able to do for you. It will happen, and it will happen again in this month.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Step into an unexplainable realm in life.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Ah.
By all means, hear this. You will never remain the same again.
Amen.
You have just stepped into an eternal river, and everything that is not of God is swept away.
Amen.
And everything of God pertaining to your destiny, they come to you in geometric fashion.
Amen.
As you are receiving one, you are receiving another.
Amen.
As you are receiving, you are receiving.
Amen.
You are receiving, you are receiving.
Amen.
Your hands will be full.
Amen.
And your mouth will be filled with laughter.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeshua. Torment you right now, they are being lifted. I see the Lord healing somebody towards my right here. It's a genital condition. It has tormented and afflicted you. These are not things you can share, but as you go back home today, you will discover that that genital disorder, that affliction, that infection was terminated in this service. And I use that person as a point of contact for everyone being tormented by a health crisis, bringing shame and pain. In the name of Jesus, they are canceled tonight. You have been mocked of barrenness. The people that mocked you, we apologize. Because in another time of life from today, you shall carry your child. Miscarriages, barrenness of all sorts, both primary and secondary infertility, they are canceled now.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. The Lord just healed somebody of an issue of blood. This month you will have many pleasant surprises. Welcome to the month of October.
Glory! Glory!
Thank you, Father. Because I can't teach any more tonight, I will just introduce how the Lord will be dealing with us in this month, and then I'll bless you.
and we'll go home. But before I do that introduction, a few announcements. We're about to expand our coast because there are strategic engagements that we'll be doing from this month. I'll be visiting 5 nations to plant the altar of priesthood. You know, we don't open branches. We raise lampstands. We raise territorial lampstands. And so, we'll visit 5 nations. I told you I'll be on ground for 3 months. My 3 months expires in October. I'm not planning to miss services after all, but there are strategic movements so that we can erect altars in different territories. And as we are doing that side by side, we'll also be having massive online invasions. And so in order to achieve that, we are launching our website from tonight. www.encounterjesusministry.org. Not ministries. You can find that on the screen. So you can click on the website, survey it. There are many things on that platform that will bless you. Yes. We started a TV channel 4 or 5 months ago, beaming across Europe, Nigeria, Africa, and part of Asia. Overwhelming testimonies, feedbacks have been trooping in. And so we are adding the website. And there are 2 programs we'll begin in this month. We'll start an online foundation school in order to give foundational knowledge to those connecting to us from across the world. And so the foundation school will begin from the 8th of October and it will run till 22nd of October. It's just a 2-week program and it's for free. Praise God. And so you are connected to us from across the world and you know your foundation is shaky. The Bible says the foundation, this sound today, this sound is in a sick bed. The people on the mixer, ask God for inspiration. So the foundation school will be to solidify your Christian background in order to make the most of all that God will be doing within and through your life. And then we are going to start an online church workers and leaders training. And that the maiden edition will also begin from this month. We have pastors and church leaders, church workers calling us from all around the world. And so we are going to be doing periodic trainings and the first episode will begin this month. That's also going to be online to train people on the rudiments of church service and service in God's kingdom. From the lowest to the highest authority in kingdom business. And so that program will last for 3 weeks. It will begin sometime around 20th of October into 5th of November. Because of the nature of this particular training, it will not be free, so that everybody will not jump on it. So stipends will be required for this training. As you click on the website, you will also find that to help you register and prepare yourself before the training. So all of these programs will be registered for. The foundation school training is for free, but the workers and leaders training will take a little stipend just to bring order and some level of seriousness. And so these are 2 things we'll begin with. other engagements will be communicated in the course of time. Let me go into what we'll be doing in this month, or the direction the Lord will be giving to us in this month. I was waiting upon the Lord and asking Him. You gave us a direction last month from which we benefited tremendously. I can't tell you my testimonies. They are mind-blowing. You know, usually I don't open the doors for too much testimonies for two reasons. Number one, I don't want people to be carried away by what God does and forget the God that do the things He does. And then number two, because our time is grossly limited. We have just 3 hours here. I mean, what can you do? So we just choose 3 of the most important things in the service and we do them. Prayer, worship, and the word. That's why we pray for 1 hour. We worship God in songs and in giving for about 30 minutes. And then we hear the word for 1 hour, 30 minutes. These are 3 most important things in the service. But the Lord began to put it in my heart just to encourage the faith of people. Once in a while, let's hear what God is doing. And so I told them, let's take 3 or 4 testimonies in a service. Today they took more than 3. And they almost delve into our time. Imagine what God did already. If we continue with that testimony and miss this atmosphere. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we decided to do a bit of that. And so God blessed us mightily because we followed the direction He gave to us. And so this month, I was few days to the end of the month, I began troubling the Lord. What direction do we go for next month? And then the Lord began to ask me a question. He said, what do you know about biblical numerology? I said, well, I know a few things. And I began to say some things. And the Lord told me to look into it and see what I come out with. You know, last month when I was asking the Lord what He will have us do, the Lord asked me, when does the Jewish people begin their year? And I said, it's the month of September. And He said, what happens in September? And I realized 2 major things happen. When the Jewish man is about to start his year, he starts it with a feast. And in that feast, they invite the body of Christ into a 10-day program of repentance. And after the 10-day program of repentance, they organize another feast for national atonement. And when that is done, God now blesses them. And so when I looked into it and spoke to the Lord, He now said, this month is the month of blessing. It's the month of prosperity. That's why we did prosperity in September. And God proved Himself mightily. Prosperity in the soul, prosperity in the body, prosperity in the spirit, in the circumstances. And so this month, God asked me what I understood about numerology, biblical numerology. I'm usually careful about such subjects because that's a subject where astrologers are also very vast in. So I don't go into such things. But when God spoke, I said, well, I know a few things about biblical numbers and their significances. And so the Lord asked me to look at it carefully. And so I said some that I knew, and I had to look up others that I didn't know. Just to give you a catch-up, I know most of you know a few things. Number one, for example, in biblical context, is the number of Yahweh. And what that number means is, first, for honor and preeminence. So every time 1 is referred to in scripture, it's about preeminence. So that number is allocated to God. It also implies unity. So that number is symbolic of the Trinity, 3 existing as 1. And so because 1 is always first, preeminent, and it also speaks of unity, mystical form of unity, it is usually ascribed to God. I can't go into scriptures again because of our time. The number 2 in biblical terms refers to partnership, synergy, and it also refers to submission and loyalty. And so every time there is a need for cohesion in order to achieve more, two always comes in. You say one, we chase 1,000. Two, we put 10,000 to flight. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So there is a kind of authority that is activated through synergy and partnership. That's what two represents. And two also implies submission. And so every time there is a need to be a subordinate, it is reflective and biblically symbolic of the number two. The number three is the number of divinity or divine operations. And so when you study the scriptures, everything that has divine signature usually comes with number three. For example, you look at the tabernacle where the presence of God dwells. There are three courts: the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And so number two is the number for divinity. There are three gods in one. It's also the seal of God on creation. And so most of the things God created, you find out that they have a triune nature. If you look at water, for example, it's solid, liquid, and gas. If you look at man, for example, his spirit, soul, and body. Even at subatomic level, atoms are made up of protons, neutrons, and electrons. So the seal of God on creation is the number three. So it is a number for divine operations. In fact, most callings of people in scripture is done three times. Three times is the gate of mercy for a calling. Samuel was called three times. David was anointed king three times. And so every time there is an operation of the divine, the number three represents it. So number three is a number of divinity or for divine operations. And then number four is the number for the world or for earth or for materiality. And so you know that there are four elements in creation. You are aware of that: light, wind, water, and fire. There are four elements. The earth has four directions: north, south, east, and west. That's why the angel in Revelation said men will be gathered from the four corners of the earth, because there are four directions in earth. The river from Eden had four heads. And so every time you are dealing with nature, the number four is what comes up. That's the biblical symbolism. And then number five is representative of grace. The name of Jesus has five letters. Grace itself is five letters. And so most times, as you study through scriptures, every time grace is referred, that number goes with it. Number six is the number for man. And it's also the number for beast. Every flesh God created is represented by the number six. And because it's the number for man, that number also represents insufficiency. Because man was created not to be sufficient in himself. He will take God to be sufficient. It's the number for man because man was created on the sixth day. If you study Revelation chapter 13 verse 18, the Bible said, they that have understanding will know this number. He said, for it is the number of the beast and is the number of man. 666. So every time there is six, either man is involved or beast is involved. The number seven is the number of completion, holiness, and rest. Every time seven is invoked, if God is talking to you and seven comes in, or you are studying scripture, you are seeing sevens, completion is there. The earth was completed in 6 days. On the seventh day, God rested from his work. So you find rest there. The seventh day is called God's Sabbath. So it is holy unto the Lord. If you go into the inner court, you will discover that there is a strange lampstand there that has seven heads. The sixth head on that lampstand is man. The seventh candle is what makes it holy and divine. It's God in the midst of man. That's what you call the menorah. Are we together? So the number seven represents rest. It represents perfection. When God finished creation, he saw that the earth was good, and so he rested. And so every time there is seven, perfection is in view. And then you have the number eight. The number eight is the number of new beginnings. God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh day. On the eighth day, a new world began. So eight represents new beginning. Abraham circumcised himself and his children on the eighth day. They were a hidden nation until they came into covenant with God. And God said, you must circumcise yourself and start a new life. And so Abraham started a new life on the eighth day. Noah was the eighth person after Adam. And you know, it was in the time of Noah that the earth was poured with water and a new world began. So the number eight is the number for new beginning. When Jesus died, he was buried on Wednesday night. He rose again on Sunday morning. Somebody is looking at me strangely. He thought it's Friday night. Jesus was buried on Thursday. On Wednesday night before Thursday. Thursday is the high Sabbath. If you study the Jewish tradition, it's a high Sabbath. And the year Jesus was killed was a high Sabbath. So they had to bury him before the Sabbath. The Bible says he will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights. If he was buried on Friday night, then it's not 3 days and three nights. So he was buried before 12 midnight on Wednesday. Thursday morning, Thursday night is one day. Friday morning, Friday night is another day. Saturday morning, Saturday night is another day. That's 3 days, three nights. He rose again early on Sunday morning. Now, that Sunday is another week. A week in the Jewish calendar begins on Sunday and ends on Saturday. So the new Sunday is an eighth day, and it's a day of new beginning. So the number eight is the number for what? For new beginning. Number nine is the number of possession in the kingdom. Possession. That's why you have nine gifts of the Spirit. That's why you have nine fruits of the Spirit. And so every time possession is in place in kingdom terms, the number nine is used. This is prophetic intelligence. I told you that people are not necessarily powerful because they are powerful. They are powerful because they have understanding. And so if I'm walking and the Holy Ghost is showing me eight, I don't need to climb the mountain. I will know I'm about to start a new order. I will just know because of understanding. That's why we explain these things. If I'm walking and my attention is being drawn to seven, I'll know that there's an old era that is ending. So anything I'm battling with, I'll just start thanking God because I know that era is over. If I was sick, I will know that sickness has ended. That's how it works. If my attention is being drawn to three, I will know that God is involved in my life. Something divine is about to happen. If I'm seeing one, I know it's promotion. Because one means preeminence. It's not all the time we fast to wield power. Sometimes we wield power from understanding. That's why I'm explaining this. So it's not a boring lecture. It's to equip you with understanding so that you can fight. Because your advantage may be by your side. Because you don't know, you won't use it. Some of you, the things you are praying to God for, God brought the answer in symbolism. You saw number eight, you didn't know what it meant. Three times the Holy Ghost drew your attention. You looked at the clock, you saw eight. You went out of your house, a bus was passing, you saw eight. And you don't know what it means. And you are still praying, Lord, please, when will the new has come, but you don't know how to cash it. Because if I put money in the bank and you can't cash it, your money will be there, but you'll be poor and broke. So this is one of the ways we rule in life, by understanding. So number nine is the number for what? Possession. Number 11. You want to hear 10. We will come back to 10 because this is the 10th one. Number 11 is the number of judgment. If you are reading the scripture, especially in Old Testament, most times when you hear judgment, you either be on chapter 11 or verse 11. Go and read Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It will shock you. They are codes. They are codes. These are codes. Check all the times God judged. You will find most either in chapter 11 or in verse 11. Is the number for judgment. Number 12 is the number of government. Government. And it's also the number that represents Israel. You know, Jesus had 12 disciples. And he said, you shall sit on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 gates in Zion. Zion has 12 pillars. Zion has 12 foundations. And so every time you see 12 is government. The New Jerusalem had 12 foundations. It has 12 gates. So the number 12 is the number for government and governance. And it's also the number for Israel. If you study Israel, there are 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 stones the priest carries into the tabernacle, representing on his shoulder, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He carries the 12 names on his shoulder, rather, and 12 stones on his chest, the ephod, to enter the Holy of Holies. When God sees it, he's seeing Israel. So number 12 also represents Israel. 12 spices in Numbers 13 and 14 were sent to spy the land. When they crossed the Jordan, God said, leave 12 stones in the belly of the Jordan. Let it be a memorial. When Elijah built his altar in honor of the God of Israel, there were 12 stones. So the number 12 represents government. It also represents Israel. Let me jump. Number 24 is the number for eldership. If you study Revelation 4, there were 24 elders. That's the number for the presbytery, eldership. If a man comes to eldership in the spirit, that's what he represents. When you are a mature believer, your spiritual order is 12. And then you have number 70. The number 70 is the number for stature. When you gain rank in the spirit, when you gain stature in the spirit. So 24 is eldership, 70 is presbytery. Pardon me. So Moses had 70 elders. Numbers 11. When they were walking through the wilderness, there were 70 palm trees. And the palm tree represents age. It doesn't die quick. That's stature. The first time Jesus sent out disciples, he sent 70. Individually, they were babes, but as a quorum of 70, they represented authority. That's why all of them came back with results. Because 70 represents stature. And then you have 120. 120 is the number for the glory. And so when the glory fell in Solomon's temple, there were 120 priests. When the Holy Ghost fell, came down, on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 disciples in the upper room. And so the number 120 is the number for glory. But because this is the 10th month, I explained the number 10 and I give you our direction. Because God was speaking to me through numbers. You know, when you start growing in God, he begins to teach you. And sometimes, before God speaks to you, he will tell you, go and read the book. I will talk to you from there. It's when you are a babe that you want everything to be spoken to you. God will now come and say, Jeremiah, rise up, for I have lifted you, and I'm making you a ruler over the nations. If you hear that, it will not be more than 2 times in your lifetime. Because if God is talking to you like that, you'll be a baby. When we were growing up, they will advise us. My mom can wake up around 5 a.m. If they tap you on the bed 5 a.m. You have done something. They want to start counseling you and giving you the track record of integrity in the lineage And this thing you are doing is about to bring disgrace to the family. So they will wake you by 5 a.m. and talk to you and talk to you. If you want to travel, pack your things early. If you can escape, escape. Because 5 a.m., they will tap you. When you wake up, they will say, you see. They will begin with proverbs and parables. I never heard any of those things. I used to be so angry. If you wake me up, what is this? All the advice you've been giving me, is it this night I must hear this? But you see, there is wisdom in it, in that if you err, those words will come back to you. And most times, if you're about to enter into trouble, it will echo. So the elders knew. They do that all the time. But the point I'm making is, if God wants to speak to you, because when we started growing up, a point came, my dad stopped advising us. He started talking to us with his eyes. If my dad looks at you like this, you know. If you are in trouble, you know. You will just start asking, you will start hoping that neighbors will be around. Because very soon you will shout. And if neighbors don't come, you are in trouble. So those days when we start shouting, he has killed me. He has killed me. I'm dying. Somebody help. Somebody help. From the old father. Because if you don't shout like that, the neighbors won't know it's an emergency. And if they don't come quick, Koboko will, so much will happen to your back. So much. It will take days to recover. You know. So my dad started talking to us with his eyes. If there are visitors and you run in, you will greet them like this. And go back. You won't come to the parlor again. If you come, you are in trouble. Meanwhile, when you were younger, if visitors come and they give them wine, you will be looking. They will now say, come and take. You will foolishly come. When we started growing, you too know. If you like, be hungry. Die of hunger. If you come there, you are in trouble. And so they will talk to you with words, then the talking will modify. And so when God is speaking to you, when you start getting mature, sometimes it will be in a puzzle. He will say, go and read Exodus. Because in reading it, you are also knowing the ways of God. And then he will talk to you. So that's how God spoke to me here. And so number 10 is the number of authority. And not just any kind of authority. Authority to create, authority to destroy, and authority to preserve. If you study Genesis chapter 1, 10 times God said, God said, God said. So the code of creation is 10. When God destroyed Egypt, there were 10 plagues. And so this is an authority that can bet a civilization and destroy a civilization. He built the earth with 10. He destroyed the Egypt with 10. 10 plagues was what crushed Pharaoh. And he said, please, go and serve your God. So every time you see the number 10, know that authority for both creation and destruction has been given. Number 2, when God wanted to teach his children his ways, he gave them 10 commandments. So that authority also brings you under God's governance. So you have order and responsibility attached to this kind of authority. Because there were 10 commandments. It's also an authority for rulership, whether in light or in darkness. When Daniel saw the vision, he saw 10 horns. And those 10 horns were symbolic of kings and kingdoms. When God wanted to have authority over our finances, he didn't ask for all. He said, give me 10%. When you give him 10%, it's a sign of authority. Because 10 is authority. That's why you pay tithe. So when people are attacking tithe, they don't know the true revelation underneath. God is not blessing you because of your tithe. Your tithe is a sign that he is Lord over your money. So it's royalty to a king. Because 10 means authority. 10 times Jesus said, I am. I am. I am. 10 times. And if you study scripture, it's replete. Every time God's authority is in motion, the number 10 somehow will come in. And so this month of October, God said, it's our month of walking in authority. And so, conferred upon you from this month is the power to change things. Because this kind of authority creates. And conferred upon you from this month is a power to break anything that is not consistent with God's will for your life. And also from this month, order and responsibility will be brought into your life. Because there's no authority without order. And there's no authority without responsibility. I want to teach us on the dynamics of authority. But we are out of time. So I will do it on Sunday next week. But hear this. Next week will be a miracle service. Because we will begin to exact this authority over the crisis of our lives. And then all the Tuesdays of this month will be deliverance services. There will be individual deliverances. There will be family deliverances. There will be territorial deliverances. Because if God has told us to walk in authority, we will put that authority to work as though we are intoxicated. And so as you walk out this month, become a commander. Everything that violates your essence, everything that negates what God has designed for you, you will cease to be under its authority. Because handed to you from this month is the power to rule. I can't teach this, but let me explain to you a few things so that you see how Jesus prioritized authority. Because if you don't know what I'm saying, you will not be excited about it. If you don't know what I'm saying, you will not make the most of it. And trust me, if you fail to exercise the authority of God on your life, don't blame God. Because many beasts of reckless wickedness will come for your good. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The devil is not a joker. You can call him any name you want to, but not a joker. Because he came into the world with a very serious business. There's a very serious manifesto that launched the devil into appearance. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Bible said Jesus gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil age. This world now has been judged in the realm of God. It's called an evil world. If you are hoping that something good will happen to you, you are a joker. If you are hoping that you will walk and things will just walk, you are a joker. The world is so evil that even if you don't plant grass, it will grow on its own. And if you choose to plant a flower, you will both add manure and water for that flower to grow. Why does grass grow in very difficult situations, but the flower you are nurturing refuses to grow? Because the world is so evil that even creation is in bondage. In Romans 1:21, it said, the creation itself is in travail, is in bondage. And he called it the bondage of corruption. The cure to the bondage and the evil of this world and the antidote for a glorious life is authority. If you don't have it and you don't walk in it, you are in trouble. This is why God is launching us into realms of authority in this month. And so we will teach it so that you have understanding and walk in it, and you begin to create the necessary changes in your life. Trust me, nothing happens to anybody by chance. Everything happening to people are deliberately orchestrated. And the people you see walking from one level of glory to another level of glory are people who understand the game of authority. This is why Jesus prioritized authority so much, as though he prioritized authority above all others. See the mistake many people make. They think because Jesus died for us and our sins are taken away, all is well. Sin is just the least in the wickedness of this world. The reason sin is dangerous is that it denatures your soul and it attracts the messianic judgment. And so when Jesus removes sin, it gives your soul opportunity to flourish, and it also delivers you from messianic judgment. But trust me, after sin is dealt with, there is violence. There are evil men. There are evil governments. There are demons. There are principalities that you need every authority to fight. This is why every time Jesus did business with his disciples, the first thing he drew their attention to was authority. The moment Jesus resurrected and appeared to his disciples, the first thing he told them was power and authority. In John 20:21, imagine, Jesus died, resurrected. They saw him. They were supposed to celebrate. He appeared before them and said, "All hail the King." And he went straight into the business. In John 20:21, he said, "As the Father have sent me," with what? Power. He said, "So send I you." In Matthew 28:18-20, he said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He said, "Go in this power." The first thing Jesus drew their attention to upon resurrection was the need for the exercise of authority. The moment Jesus began to speak to them about the Holy Spirit, you would think he would talk about wisdom. You would think he would talk about love. You would think he would talk about fellowship. In Acts 1:8, he said, "Not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power." The first thing he drew the attention of the disciples to upon receiving the Holy Spirit was power. To show you how important we are in an evil world. The Bible said the dark places of the earth are the habitations of cruelty. The world is fighting you for your destruction. Demons are fighting you for your destruction. You cannot afford to live your life hoping that things will work. You need to rise up and fight with the authority that's been committed to you. And the way you do it is to know what you have and how to appropriate it. The first thing Jesus gave the disciples at new birth was authority. In John chapter 1, from verse 11 to 14, he said, "He came unto his own. His own received him not. He came into the world, although the world was created by him, but the world knew him not." He said, "But as many as received him," he said, "to them he gave power to become the sons of God." Resurrection, he began with authority. Receipt of the Holy Ghost, he began with authority. New birth, he began with authority. And before he sent them out, he said, "Thank God for the lecture. Thank God for all you saw. Thank God you followed me everywhere I went to. But," he said, "tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power." Don't go out with lecture notes. You will die. There are vicious spirits of reckless wickedness that will show no mercy. And so Luke 24:49, he said, "Tarry until you are endued with power." We don't commission men with words. We commission them with authority. Because you are going into an evil world. That's how important authority is in the equation of God. Even Jesus himself, the Son of God, he didn't go out and say, "God sent me to the world." He waited for 30 years until authority came. If he went out and said, "I'm the Messiah," himself would have been shocked. The evil he would have collided with, because when he came into the world, he stripped himself of divinity. He came into the world as a man. And God does not play games. When Jesus came into the world, he came as vulnerable as everyone. That's why the Bible said he died the death of a criminal. He took receiving authority and walking in authority to do everything Jesus did. That's why he told you and I to do the same. If Jesus had the advantage of a God, then he set us up. He was as weak and vulnerable as me and you. He knew how to receive and walk in authority to be able to achieve the 100% record that he had. He didn't achieve that by doing us malpractice and acting as a son of God. He did that because he knew the way of authority. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 15, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. That means before that time, the power of the Spirit was not there. That's why Jesus advised himself and was a carpenter. For 30 years, he was doing carpentry and doing carpentry well. He knew you cannot enter an evil world without authority. I am God in heaven, but on earth, I'm man. Hope you know, when they came to kill Jesus, the angel came and said, run with him. So he waited for authority. And he wielded authority to be able to enjoy the success. The moment he returned with power, in Matthew 14, 15, the Bible said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, he said, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Has he not been walking there for the past 30 years? He entered the synagogue. Suddenly, we heard for the first time that demons saw him and fled. Were the demons not in those people? All the other time he came to the synagogue, the demons were not moved that he was Jesus. They were moved when authority came. Because the Jesus walking in Nazareth before authority was man as you and I am. In fact, if you understand doctrine well, you will know that Jesus was deglorified. That's what Philippians 2 verse 5 to 9 taught us. That he stripped himself of the garment of divinity. He became a man. He took the form of a man. He became a servant. He died the death of a criminal. So he completely deglorified himself. He was as ordinary as everybody until the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brought authority into his life. And if you and I, we make the level of success that we are hoping to make, we will need authority. And so at incarnation, Jesus became an ordinary man. At baptism, Jesus identified with sinful humanity. At the cross, Jesus identified with sin. These are three levels of identification. Incarnation, he identified with the human race. In baptism, he identified with the sinful nature of man. And in the cross, or at the cross, he identified with sin itself. So Jesus went to the lowest point. Every power and every exploit you saw Jesus wrought, he didn't wrought it because he was the Son of God. He wrought it because he was a man under authority. And that's why Jesus taught every one of us that it was needful for us to receive authority and to walk in authority. Without authority, you cannot deal with the oppositions. What you need to deal with the oppositions in your life, it's not English language. What you need to deal with the opposition in your life is not human intelligence. What you need to deal with opposition in your life are not certificates. There are many people with first class certificate frustrated on the street. There are many people, intelligent men, frustrated in life. You will need authority to deal with the crisis of life. In Luke 5:17, the Bible said, Jesus was teaching on a certain day, and he said the power of God was present to heal. It is the presence of authority that deals with opposition. Not English language, not volume, not suit, not certificate. If authority is not there, you will wear the best suit, speak the best English, have the best credentials, but still not be chosen. It will take authority for you to make progress, the devil notwithstanding. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, we saw, or James rather, let me take James, chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, we saw Elijah. The Bible said he was an ordinary man like all of us, but he knew what to do to tap into authority. And he said he decreed that there will be no rain or dew. And he said there was no rain according to his words. If you have no authority, you cannot silence the voice of the avenger. He said, through the greatness of thy power, not the greatness of thy wisdom, not the greatness of thy good looks, not the greatness of thy great strategies, through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves to you. So you silence opposition with authority. Number two, you cause nature to conform to you with authority. So while on one side you are dealing with opposition, on another side you need things to work in your favor. The way you make things work in your favor is also through authority. In Mark 4:39, Jesus was present in a boat and there was a wind beating against them boisterously. The wind did not respect that Jesus, the Son of God, was there. All of them would have drowned. All. They would have drowned. Jesus woke up and said, "Let the wind be still." And the Bible said the wind became still. So he took the authority of Jesus for nature to conform. Nature knew him, but nature will only conform when authority is exercised. I'm not saying this to undermine Jesus. I'm actually saying this so that you know that Jesus stripped himself of every honor. He made himself ordinary so that you can become supernatural by doing the things he did. We saw the life of Elisha by authority in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 6. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 6 down, how that an army came to besiege them. And Elisha stood up. When Gehazi was afraid, Elisha stood up in very calm and gentle voice, told Gehazi, "Don't be troubled." And you would think he's a bold man. He's not bold. When he made the statement, we knew that there was something happening in the heavens. He said, "There is more for us." He said, "They that are for us are greater than they that are for them." Somebody opened my eyes to this scripture. I was shocked. He didn't say they that are for us are greater than them. If he said they that are for us are greater than them, it would have meant the angels standing with us is superior to the Syrian army. That's not what he said. He said they that are for us are greater than they that are for them. That means the angels that are with us are greater than the demons that are with them. Because it is first of all a battle in the spirit before it's in the natural. If they that are with you are greater than they that are with them, your one can be more than their 10,000. But if they that are with them is greater than they that are with you, your 10,000 will be less than their one. So it's always a game of authority. For you to cause things to work in your favor, you must understand authority and you must master how to wield it. And finally, authority is the only basis for establishing divine mandate. You will not fulfill your vision, you will not fulfill your purpose, you will not fulfill your destiny except as you understand authority and wield it correctly. The Son of God needed it. Luke 4:14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Acts 1:8, not many days from now, you shall receive power. Jesus needed it, you too need it. And so in this month, one of the things the Lord will be showing us and helping us is how to access authority and how to exercise authority. Many people love God, good people, excellent people, but they know nothing about the game of authority. That's why they are living a defeated life with the best interest, best mind, best heart, best character. Character is important. We will build ourselves in it. But over and above that, we will need power to shake our world. Because if we don't have power, we will die with our character. We will be destroyed with our good character. And we will not make any impact for God and for his kingdom with our good character. Listen, 3.5 years of Jesus' life with power was more impactful than 30 years of Jesus' life of great character. I'm not talking down on character. But if you want to make power, make impact, in addition to character, sir, you need power. And in this month, if there is one thing that will happen to you, is that you will not just receive more authority, but you will exercise it and produce undeniable results. You know, when they were sharing the testimonies, I sat down, honored the Lord, and clapped my hands. But when they shared the last testimony, and I saw that I was not involved, I stood up. Because it's more glorious when I'm not involved. When I'm always involved, the people remain babes. Listen, it's not a glorious thing to say, Apostle prayed for me, Apostle prophesied, Apostle did this. No. It becomes glorious when you stand up and said, the demon came and I stood up at night. And I said, in the name of Jesus, and the demon left. It becomes glorious when you said, I was walking on the street and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, do this, do that, do that. And when I did it, there was change. It means the church is maturing. In this month, the dimension of maturity that comes by authority, you will walk in it. In this month, you will not only see God through another man. The dimension of God that you should experience by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will experience it. In this month, everything God has destined for you to do with your hands, nobody will do it for you. The capacity to do it, receive it now in the name of Jesus. It's our month of walking in authority. And the testimonies we will receive in this month, it will be the things that God did through ushers. It will be the things that God did through first timers. It will be the things that God did through ordinary members. That no pastor is involved, no apostle is involved. We will receive testimonies of ordinary men praying for the sick and they recovered. We will receive testimonies of people receiving divine direction and making progress in life. We will receive testimonies of people casting out devils. Business is exploding because every one of you will walk in authority. You become a sign and a wonder. I decree over you in this month, every mountain before you is leveled. I decree over you, every grace that you are yet to manifest, you will walk in them this month. In the name of Jesus the Lord, receive power to wrought wonders. And as you walk out of this place, you are walking into another energy level in the spirit. As you walk out of this place, you are walking into another dimension in the spirit. As you walk out of this place, you are walking into an elevated order in the spirit. Every great thing you have seen, as you step out, receive double of it. And every dimension you have seen in the life of others that you have only imagined, before this month is over, they become your everyday experience. In the name of Jesus. The Lord keep you. The Lord bless you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. And the Lord give you peace. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. Listen. Some of you, you will wield authority in the area of finance. It will be like a game.
You will just be receiving inspirations and you'll be doing different things every week. And strange things, strange outbursts will just be happening. And yourself will be shocked. It will look like a fluke, but that's where you will live from today. Some of you, you will cast out devils and demons like joke. Hope you know, for 30 years, Jesus was walking in the temple. No demon noticed that he came. But the moment authority came, before he spoke, the demons began to scream out and say, "Leave us. Why have you come before your time?" You will become a terror in the demonic realm. Demons that torment men, demons that torment families, at your presence they will flee. In the name of Jesus. It will look like a joke, but you have shifted. You have shifted. Your lives will never remain the same again. Some of you will ask yourself, "Is this true?" I came to tell you it is true, because God has moved you. Walk in that new order of life. Walk in that new order of life. Walk in that new order of life. In the name of Jesus. And so let it be written. You know, most of you who are going out for evangelism, you will discover that deaf ears will start popping open. You will now know that you don't need to shout for things to happen. It takes authority, not volume. Ears, deaf ears, pains, arthritis pains, bone conditions. You will just hold people and things will be corrected in their body. In the name of Jesus, step into that realm of authority. Some of you, your words will be quoted with power. I wish I had liberty to share testimonies with you. You will say things to people casually, and the results that will follow, you will wonder what manner of life in this. But like Isaiah and his children, become a sign and a wonder. A friend of mine was working with me, and I called him to give me something. And while we were talking, on his own, he just said, you said you needed some gym material, some gym equipment. He said, "I'll bring the ones in my house." I looked at him, I said, "You need it too?" He said, "No, take it." I said, "Before this month is over, you will walk in millions. I was talking and we started laughing and shaking our hands. In 24 hours, somebody gave him a job of 10 million. 24 hours. It wasn't more than that. He came to me and said, "Sir, I don't take your words for granted anymore, because even when you are laughing, things happen." In another 1 week, he got another business. In 2 weeks, the guy had over 5 businesses, none of them less than 10 million. Because a casual word was spoken. We don't shout to create change. We wield authority to create change. And it's not because we are apostles. He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Every believer is a creature of authority. And so in the name of Jesus, the authority that commands change, it rests upon you now. The brother who came here, he just came to me, said his spirit is dry. I touched him, I said, "The hand of God is upon you from now." He went home for a whole month. 3 days dry fast became periodic. It's not only about material things, it's a realm. And most of you will walk in that realm from this season. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. You know, the glory of God has come upon you heavily tonight. As you go back home, please don't distract yourself. Spend time alone with God, praying. Spend time. That atmosphere is in your spirit. It has not gone. I had to shut it down just to give us direction for this month. But as you go back, most of you, your bedroom, angels will walk in. the atmosphere, the spiritual climate will change. And from your bedroom, you will create change in your business, create change in your family, create change in the lives of people around you. Because you have been ushered into a new dimension of authority. Welcome to a new dawn of power. Welcome to a new era of power. So, let it be written. And so, let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. In the next 2 minutes, we round up. Give the Lord a big hand.
Rejoice in the spirit.
We give you all the glory, Lord.
For this is our mount of authority. Commanding authority in every sphere of our lives, in every realm of existence. If you know you are walking in authority this month, I'd like you to sing this song from the depth of your spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.